Blog Talk Radio.
LMP. How's everyone out there this evening? And who have we got? Dan, you out there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
Yahoo! I am bone tired. I spent the day at the racetrack in the tower watching cars go airborne. It was really interesting.
interesting, yes.
Day. Oh, yeah, it was quite the day.
Yes, I get that.
Well,
I am full of candy and tea, so I'm all caffeinated and ready to go. So we'll even out somewhere in the middle, you and I.
I think it'll work. I think it'll work out. Well, welcome everyone who's with us to Exploring Ekphrasis with Dan Deschino and Captain B2, a.k.a. Bobby. The program is about exploring ekphratic poetry, which is a vivid description of a scene or commonly a work of art. Basically, it is using one art form to express yourself emotionally about another piece of artwork. And the opening music actually is a very good example of that. That's the Processional by Pictures at an Exhibition by Modest Mussorgsky. And Mussorgsky's friend was a painter, and when his friend died, they had an exhibit of his work. And as Mussorgsky walked through looking at all the paintings, he was able to be inspired enough to write a whole symphony about the artwork he saw, a perfect example of ekphrasis. And while our artwork isn't quite that famous, we do have some really interesting artists, and tonight we're going to look at the work of Michael Chabal, who is a Russian artist, and how his work inspired the poets who wrote to our contest. So take it away, Dan.
Absolutely. We have some amazing poems tonight. I'm very excited. But we're first going to start with a carryover, I think, from last week. Is that right?
Yes. We have one carryover.
Excellent. I want to post that right now.
Okay. Do we have
any
callers? Do we have any callers? Are we lucky enough to have an audience out there that's going to come in and play with us?
I think we might be waiting for Pam. I think Pam might be having some technical difficulties.
I'm not having any technical difficulties.
You
haven't acknowledged me.
She was hiding in the corner. That's why I said, Pam here.
You know, what am I supposed to do, jump in and interrupt your conversation?
Well, I don't know.
Come
I
on
was
now.
Going by the Phil said. I don't know. Anyway, I told you I'm too caffeinated. I don't know what's going on. So, Pam,
okay. Well, just to let you know, I am here. Yes.
Thank
yes,
you,
absolutely.
Thank you very much. And we'll yes. not make that mistake again. I guarantee it.
And
yes.
But yes. And just to let you know, I will most. Yes, absolutely. Happy to be here, and happy to help.
Do we have any calls?
We, as of right now, you don't have any other callers.
Oh, quel dommage. Well, okay. It's just the three of us playing then, I guess. So,
yep.
Dan, if you want to pull up that carryover and give it a read.
Absolutely. We'll get started here. And this is by Poetic Picasso, Frank. This is called Reality
wow.
is Just an Art. If one doesn't talk about a thing that has never happened, nor is it known, then it is reduced to an impossibility. It is simply expression that gives illusion to things that remain undefined. Art is the supreme reality, and life is a mere mode of fiction that mostly occupies our time idly. Plato believed that artist creations are based on appearances rather than mere realities. Art is embodied by an abstract aestheticism and not solely by a material realism. No great artist ever sees things as they are in their natural form. If he did, he would cease to be an artist and would become an illusion. To exist is much more than to contemplate the world that we believe to be factual. For reality is an art. Few artists ever obtained its value or meaning. Standing on the brink of existence is not enough to define reality or its possibility. To wonder what and why one exists is to ask, where did I come from, and who am I essentially? How we understand reality is answered by how we ultimately define life. I am not the keeper of time, but an artist that lives and experiments it. Perhaps art is a passion incomprehensible to many naysayers, and it is only understood by those artists that aspire its grandeur. For me, it is indeed a passion beyond the simplicity of truth, a passion that is the expression of my own creation. My reality could be only a unique illusion of the mind and truth, but an illusion is much more artistic at times than the truth that binds us to reality. Thus, reality could be many things, or simply, reality is just art. At home.
Wow. That's a real departure for Frank. Usually his poetry is much more, it's very romantic, most of his poetry, but this is a very esoteric piece. Pam, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. A wonderful look at the whole idea of what art can be to individual people. I really like where he mentions that Plato believed that artist creations are based on appearances rather than mere realities. Just a really lot of thought-provoking lines that I think fits really well with the topic of the show. And I also really like, perhaps art is a passion incomprehensible to many naysayers and is only understood by those artists that aspire its grandeur. For me, it is indeed a passion beyond the simplicity of the truth. I like, within those lines, there's to me this really whole idea of looking at art with the spirit, you know, with your heart and your emotions, rather than with 100% sense of logic, giving yourself a kind of a freedom to explore and feel art. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. Dan, you read it. What did you think?
I did. Always very humbling to read one of Frank's poems to start off the show, but I hope I did it some justice for you, Frank. I love that that is... Yeah, I've definitely heard read some other poems of his that are not like his standard, and this is one of them. And I love when people kind of go out of their comfort zone.
Yes.
And I think this is really great. He's really exploring some interesting thoughts here. No great artist ever sees things as they are really in the natural form. If he did, he would cease to be an artist and would become an illusion. It's an amazing line there. I always
yes.
think that even though there are some, you know, some animals that do some art and do some different things, different expressions that way, I always think that the one thing that takes us above, that kind of separates us from other animals is not intelligence. I don't even know if we are more intelligent than other animals, to be honest, but it's our ability to think abstractly, and art, music, art, all of that, I think, is what kind of sets us aside, and I think that's where we're going. So I got that idea out of this, and something I've always thought about. So thank you very much, Frank. Great, great way to start the show.
Yeah, it is a tremendous. It's one of those pieces that really, in order to be fully appreciated, I think requires several readings and aloud usually just to be able to assimilate some of the complexity. This is a very complex piece, very layered, very esoteric. Reality is an art that few artists ever obtain its value or meaning. Standing on the brink of existence is not enough to define reality or its possibilities. And really, he's also looking at the fact that art is also not only from the artist point of view, but also from the observer's point of view, is going to be filtered through your own life experiences. So I think the way that some of our writers respond to the artwork that we provide as prompts is a beautiful illustration of that. They can look at something and see a universe that wouldn't even occur to me. So this is a really really superior piece of writing, especially. And you're right, it is out of his wheelhouse, but beautifully done. So I hope
I hope we can get
Frank to write some more stuff like this, because this is great.
Absolutely.
All right, what do we get next?
Sure, we have one by Rick Six. I'm going to post here. And
oh, no.
We might have a caller.
Yeah, you know, you do. I'd like to welcome Lou to the show. Welcome, Lou. Glad you could join
us. Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hey, Lou. Thank you for joining us.
Hi.
I was just listening.
Yeah, I was just listening to y'all comment on Frank's poem, you know, and it is. It's the passion of what the artist sees. And, you know, just like with any artist, there's the ones that like to tease. And what I call a tease is they paint something and then they want you to, like, what do you think it is? You know, This is what I see when I painted it. Now I want to know what you see when you painted it, and do you see what I see? And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't.
And isn't that the
Absolutely.
Beauty of it? You get to see the universe mm-hmm. through another pair of eyes.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Just like when we're writing poetry and we put a picture up there, like you did all those pictures, it inspires different passions
yes.
and rights and thoughts and everything. And then also, you know, trying to, you know, that I did read that explanation, you know, that article that small thing that you explained, you know, that he was a puzzlist and he wanted people to figure out what he was trying to say. But like with anything, like with Mama's Cooking, some like a little bit of this and some like a little bit of that, you know.
That's a great analogy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. Same recipe.
All right.
Would you like to read the next piece for us?
That brings us to Rick Six, and this is our first one from our contest for this week, and I did post that, Lou, if you want to go for it.
Okay, and this is titled Uno Sidebird by Rick Six. Occasionally, I like to tickle an entirely different set of ivories. Can you imagine? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. It's easy if you try in poem.
Great read. Great read. Well, Dan, what did you think of Rick Six piece?
Well, first, I really like Lou's Spanish accent there. That was fun.
Beautifully.
I didn't know you had accents, and you did a great job. I really liked it a lot. I'm a fan. Anybody who reads my poetry knows that I can't stop. Like, when I start writing, they're like 300 words average, so it's hard for me to do. Brevities, I try. I definitely have some out there, so I'm really a fan of them. I think they're hard to get, and this was just a playful, fun poem, you know, and I like those a lot. You know, I think it's a really great take on the prompt, just beautiful, and like I said, just really kind of playful and fun, and great job, Rick. Thanks for entering. Absolutely.
And Lou, what did you think of the piece?
Well, you know, for me, you know, this reminded me when I was in school and the piano was there and the teacher was out of the class, and of course everybody goes to, you know, touch the ivory. So you know, they just call out to you, okay? And you've got people, you know, there's just something where your fingers just itch to touch them, and you know, and it doesn't matter what the ivories are painted on, you know. And then I really liked where he goes, uno, dos, tres, cuatro. That just made me think of, you know, like, of him remembering an old lesson from a teacher or something and, you know, just giving it a whirl.
Great comment. Thank you. Pam, what did you think of the piece?
Well, it's certainly a delightful and fun brevity. I liked how he used the Spanish counting, and you know, there's kind of just a bit of fun and humor within this. So very well done.
I agree. I like his interpretation of the prompt, the artwork he selected. We've got a young lady levitating, as it were, across the gentleman's lap, and she's got her lower body is all piano keys, but her upper body looks like a zebra. Wearing beautiful pictures, and the fact that he's focused in on the keys on the legs is really very interesting to me, because it does look like the man is about ready to play a tune on her legs. But I find his interpretation of this fascinating. So great job, Rick. So who have we got next?
Next up, we have, I'm going to post it right now. This is by Rosewinter515. And for those following along with the poems, this is with prompt. Even though she posted a picture of her own, but this is based on prompt 11. And who do we have read, Bobby?
Yep. Let me tackle this one.
Excellent.
Destiny by Rosewinter515. Young Lady Marina, Princess of Hearts, cradles her newborn, rocking, rocking, rocking away into her hearts. She is spinning, she is surfing, surfing, surfing. Now they are sailing abroad across the sea, away from our hearts. They are weary, they are cheery, new lands they will see, never to return home. So sorry, so sorry. Times, they're a-changing, changing, changing. Welcome home. Now they come back into our hearts forever. End poem. Beautiful piece.
Excellent piece.
Thank you. The prompt that she selected is interesting. It's a woman pushing a pram. A baby carriage, but it looks like a ship, and it is very suggestive of so many things. And I find her interpretation of this quite fascinating. She's got the child motherhood woven in there, but also the journeying and the trauma of travel and of leaving your family and your home. And then she ends it very positively with, "Welcome home. Now they come back into our hearts forever," which is a really lovely way to end what could, which is a very interesting piece. And with her repetition, I found it lends almost a rhythmic, rocking feel to what she's written. Dan, what did you think?
So did you say Pam or Dan?
Dan. I shall enunciate better. Dan.
Ah, okay. No, I like this one a lot. It was with the title "Destiny Calls." What I really got from this was somebody really contemplating. That's where I got out of the repeats. So, you know, when you're just kind of going through life and you see things, it's almost like eye candy sometimes, right? Okay, I look at this,
yeah.
And you're kind of going around. But when you got to think, when you're really contemplating life, when things are happening to you, you're thinking about it many, many times. So, you know, all the repeats here. Young Lady Marina, Princess of Hearts, Cradles and Newborn, rocking, rocking, rocking away into our hearts. So you can picture her kind of just holding the baby and really, you know, taking in everything there. And that's really what I got out of this. I think it was beautifully done. Really, really enjoy her work usually anyway. So great job, Rose Winter. Thanks for sending it in. And who do we go
great.
Next?
Great, great comments. Lou, what did you think? Did we lose Lou? Are you mutating Lou?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. I was coughing, so I didn't want to disturb Dan's comment. You know, what I like about this almost has almost a nursery, for
yes.
me, rhyme to it, something that a mother would sing to her child. And, you know, this for me was, it was almost storybook written, because it was like she wrote the story of the history of so many of us, of our relatives, of our heritage, where we've had to leave our homelands and travel across the sea with our babies and everything, whatever we have is, you know, it's put in there. And, you know, and then she got to the emotion of the family and friends that are missing her because of, you know, for whatever reason she took this journey. And then it says that times did change and she came back home. So it was, you know, it was she left and she came back. So,
well,
I just it's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
I like your observation of it almost having the feel of a nursery rhyme. When you said that, it immediately struck me. It does. It really does have that rhythmic nursery rhyme quality to it, and yet a depth that goes far beyond that. Pam, what are your thoughts about this piece?
I really enjoyed this. It does have a wonderful lyrical quality with the repetitiveness. I like her choice of using the name Marina, which means, you know, like from the sea, or, you know, basically
yes.
it's a, you know. So you can tell, at least I would guess, that she purposely chose that name. And I like when people put thoughts into the names they put into their poems or stories that fit in with it. I really like how she goes, she is spinning, she is surfing, surfing, surfing. You know, you just get this wonderful sense of movement. And I'm particularly
yes.
drawn also to the stanza, times they are changing, changing, changing. It kind of reminds me of the Pink Floyd song Time, the one that's, or whatever song there's of theirs that says time keeps on slipping,
yes.
slipping, slipping into the
yes.
future.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so then yes. actually there's kind of a Pink Floyd-type vibe to this entire write. At least I feel there is. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, excellent comment. Very insightful. That's you, some, you, every once in a while, you come out with something that's like, oh my God, she's absolutely right. That's yes, bloody brilliant. No, seriously, you're right. It does have that Pink Floyd flavor to it. So great comment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, who we got?
Yeah, great comment, Sam. Yeah, that was I just want to say that was a great comment, Sam. I just because of the name, I was thinking Bob Dylan came up to me, but that "Fly Like an Eagle" song is actually that makes a lot of sense to me. Absolutely.
Yeah, very reminiscent of that. Great catch.
So up next, we have one by Mamya called "Dreamcatcher," which is off of Prompt 31. Again, for those following, is the poem of this. I mean, the painting of the same name. So who do we get to read this one?
Well, we have not heard the melodious tones of Pam yet, so would you grace us with a reading, please?
I would be happy to read.
Thank you.
This is The Dreamcatcher by Mamya, and it goes like this. He runs with his net held up high, catching dreams, sleeping on clouds, drifting on winds, each dream a rainbow palace, a cloud lady. Doesn't matter, it'd be his or one way, or another dream came floating by, another to catch, dream thief takes his net, but didn't notice, a hole gnawed on his catcher's cotton net, in hubris, he falls to see the dreams escaping, until finally he realizes, this no more dreams, retired thief, assailed by nightmares, day and night, end poem.
Beautiful read. Pam, I'm going to ask you, even though you read it just now, what are your thoughts about this piece?
Wow, I like how, as always, she has some short, impactful lines. I like that she uses the word dream multiple times to really emphasize it. My particular favorite line is, dream thief takes his net, but didn't notice a hole gnawed on his catcher's cotton net. In hubris, he fails to see the dreams escaping. I think to me that really speaks well on the idea of someone who doesn't take notice of something or someone good slipping away from their life. So just beautifully written, thoughtful, and very well done.
And a very insightful comment. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think of Mamya's piece?
Oh, I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed Pam's read. This, to me, was she literally looked at the picture, and she put what she felt this dream catcher was dreaming. And for me, when I saw those balloons in the background, for me, it was like the clouds turned into the balloons for the ones he did not catch, they escaped. So that is, you know, how I saw it, where he's running to catch, you know, not realizing he's got that hole in his net. And in his sorrow, all those colorful dreams that he did not catch in the clouds are the balloons that were flying away. At least that's how I saw it.
And you know what? I had the same impression of that piece. He's going with his net after the woman laying on the cloud, the dream that he can see, the dream that he is closest to, but the ones that the colorful, maybe the more difficult dreams, because they're higher, they're more unreachable. Mm-hmm. Are slipping away from him because he's so focused on the wand. I had the same impression. So I see the same thing that you see on that. Dan, what did you think of Mamya's piece?
Yes, I absolutely agree with Pam and Lou. And from what I'm finding out with Mamya, there's a lot of layers on here. She writes very simply words, but a lot of complex layers, which is always impressive. And I really liked it, almost like the storyline of this, where he's kind of telling the story about the dream catcher, and then he has a hole in his net, and then he kind of falls away. And to me, that hole in his net is almost like him waking up. So this is him sleeping. This is the person that's, they're in their dreams, they're sleeping, they're happy, and then they wake up and they realize they're in reality now. They're a retired thief. Instead of chasing dreams, now they're awake, and they have to deal with the nightmares of the regular day and night. So I think there's a lot there, and I'm also another level that at least I kind of got out of it was the level of where you're kind of living dreams, but you know what's going to happen. You're going to go down. You're going to go down someday. There's going to be some days that are not going to be full of dreams and beauty and everything, you know. And it's an interesting always way to think about life. I think of is you know. You're having a good time now, but you know this bad time's coming. And when you have the bad times coming, you can hold on to those because you know the good times are coming. So I was trying to kind of figure out, again, what she was saying with this. But on the other end, what everybody else is saying, it was a really beautiful take on the prompt, very descriptive.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So all those levels were there. Fantastic, ma'am, yeah.
A lot of attention to detail in this piece. I mean, she takes so many of the minute elements of that particular piece of art and brings them to the forefront and gives them a lot of color and a lot of background information with her writings. Beautifully done. Okay. Who we
Absolutely.
Got next?
Up next, and I was so into the poem, I forgot to get the next one. But I had
Daniel?
She got me very distracted. But I know.
You have wanted to let you know that Gray has joined us, so welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Gray.
Oh, excellent. Hey, Gray.
Gray, thank you.
Hey. Hi, Daniel. Hi, Bobby. Hi, Pam. Hi, Louise.
Hi. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining. Did
Absolutely,
you get to hear Mamiya's painting? Mamiya's poem, excuse me.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
No problem. So next, I'm going to post one by Weaver of Dreams. And Pam, I believe we do have a SoundCloud for this one.
Yes.
Yay.
On over there and
thank you,
Pam, what would we do without you?
We'd do fumble
and grow. Lively played her favorite shipwreck impromptu. This she found the most inspiring a relaxing soul piano piece. Nowhere in this vast grey landscape that time had forgotten had she been given any indication that the signal on the train tracks must be changed. It was the only way to divert the train away from her much-loved, much-played piano. This could only happen should she get to the end of Impromptu D899 number 2 in E-flat major before the train got to her.
Excellent SoundCloud. Thank you. And I do want to say, this was prompt number 5, again, for those following along, which she posted right with her poem. So where are we going to go for comments, Bobby?
Well, I'm going to kick it off here. This is a brilliant brevity. I mean, this is a real flight of fantasy that she's taken a surreal a piece of art and given us a complimentary, a surreal piece of poetry to go with it. And the detail, this could only happen should she get to the end of Impromptu D899 number 2 in E-flat major before the train gets there. I mean, and what a wonderful detail to pick up in the background is the train. She's taken the train and woven the whole story around this train headed for the piano. And I think that just it is a really clever and evocative interpretation of the prompt. So my compliments. Very well done. So, Gray, since you just got to the party, we'll let you comment next, please. What did you think of this piece?
I thought she did a wonderful job of capturing the prompt, you know, beautifully with her poetry. It really speaks to the painting itself and is a very well-written poem. Excellent read as well.
Yes. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think of this piece?
Well, I really enjoyed listening to her read her poem. I love classical music. And to me, this tattoo rope, to me, it's one where she's playing her music, and you know how when we play music or we draw or we write poetry, we get lost in the music.
Yes.
And is she, the thing is this loss, because there's two tracks. Is there one that will be a disaster because she's, you know, from whatever it is that she's doing? Or will one be that the train could be her escape from the life she's in? And, you know, and I really love the classical setting here and how the piano keys look like they turn into the train tracks.
Yes.
So which track is she going to take? That's the question.
That's where I was very impressed with the attention to detail of this
mm-hmm.
piece, like the one before it, picking up minutia in the artwork and just blending it beautifully into the poetry. Great comment. Thank you. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I really liked what Lou had to say about there being two tracks and which one is going to be taken. You know, I thought this was a wonderful way to tell a story within a brevity. And I liked that she noticed the little train in the background and worked that into the whole idea of perhaps that oncoming danger that somebody can be oblivious to. So just really a clever write all the way through and very well done.
Agreed. And a great comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I really related to this piece. And I agree with Lou's comment as well. To me, as a musician myself, what I got out of this piece was that fact of when you are a musician, when you're in there, like nothing else matters with the music, and you can't stop. I mean, I've been in times when I've had problems with my hand. Like, I'm a drummer, so I've had problems with my hand or my leg where I can't use one of my hands. Like, I've actually hurt myself so bad playing. And I can't stop. Yeah, even if we weren't playing a gig, if we were just practicing, like, the song's not over. I have to keep going. Nothing matters but the music when you're playing. You have to keep going. So to me, this painting is somebody so into the music that so into what's going on in life that that's all becoming there. She can't stop till it's over. If the train comes and runs her over, whatever, you have to finish the song. And to me, that's what I really got out of it, is that just devotion and how much you get into music is what I got out of it. So I don't know if Weaver is a musician herself, him or herself, but I got all of that and got that out of the painting too. So great, great job. And go ahead.
That your interpretation, being a musician, you saw things in this that maybe to the casual non-musician like myself would not have understood how the immersion in the music can just completely take over and drive you. So the great comment. Thank you.
Yeah, you have
next
to finish the song. You can't, like, not finish. It has to end,
mm-hmm.
you know. Can't stop. Nope, not at all. Great, great. And, yes, we are going here next. One moment here. This is from Here in My Heart. Let me post it right now. And this is, I'm not sure what prompt number it's on, but if you're looking around, it's a prompt with a little floating vessel and a couple of kind of elves in the vessel, Lucy. I don't know what number that is, Bobby.
That's a good one. It's about in the middle of the collection, but what I find interesting is there were two that were very similar. There were subtle variations between them. They were called Vessel of Utter Bliss 1 and Vessel of Utter Bliss 2. And the subtle differences between them, I think, might have affected who chose what. But I noticed that this particular piece of art has several pieces dedicated to it, or that it inspired several rites. So it's going to be interesting to see how the different interpretations of where they took their inspiration. So
sure.
You
and I did find that it's prop number 17.
Okay, and you haven't read in a while, so would you like to read this?
I would love to. This is A Vessel of Utter Bliss Set Sails by Here in My Heart. A vessel of utter bliss has set sail. The ship wasn't built with hammer, nor even a nail, nor even wood. It's a large seashell found in sand as it drifted ashore from the sea. And with its sails, where will it take? Two lovers ready for adventure to travel around the seven seas. The course is set. It's off the sail. To this magical place, so full of nature's beauty, a marvel to see as their love story is captured. Thus, where it begins or it ends, nobody knows for sure. Only the future knows. Just wait and see. End poem.
Excellent read. Excellent read. And Pam, would you like to start the comments off, please? Pam, are you
Pam
still with us?
Away.
What's
stepped
that?
Away. Pam stepped away.
Away. Well, Gray, would you like to step up to the plate and give us your comment?
Sure. This poem's beautiful. You know, I think it captures the prompt excellently. You know, it's loving and it's dreamy and it's full of adventure. So what could be more apt for a picture such as that? Excellent, right? Excellent read, Daniel.
Great. Thank you. Lou, what did you think of this particular piece?
Well, I really enjoyed this because, you know, she's capturing them. It looks like they're escaping.
Yeah,
you know,
and
of course they're in a seashell. I see other things, but I will wait to see how the other poems are written to make a comment on that. But, you know, it looks as if they're leaving behind everything and that they are ready to set, you know, be on the seven seas and to see what their companionship will bring them. So it was lovely. It was just a lovely love poem.
Thank you. And if the audience out there, if you're looking at the prompts, the one that is a companion is prompt 26, which is called Vessel of Utter Bliss 2. And you'll see some really, while they're subtle, they're definitely pronounced differences between the two pieces. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone wrote to this particular one, to 26, but certainly there were more than one interpretation to 17. So... I enjoyed the dreamy quality of the write. The vessel of utter bliss. She's got the two lovers ready for adventure. It's a very very economical write, very compact, but very positive. It's taking these two lovers in their seashell vessel. And it's taking them on a magical adventure. There's nothing dark about it. It's a very uplifting piece, very delightful to read and delightful to listen to be read. So, Dan, what did you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that. And I'm kind of thinking back to one that I believe Lou had a comment on earlier of a fairy tale-like quality, which this artist has that with their paintings. And that's what this one to me has, is really kind of fairy tale quality. And I really like the beginning two stanzas where it is, you know, the vessel of utter bliss has set sail. The ship wasn't built with hammer or nail or wood. It's a large seashell. So this isn't something that they actually even constructed. They're just becoming one with nature and just kind of going with the world and going out on their own. They don't need anything. They just need themselves and nature, and that's it. And then they're going off to all see all the magical places.
Very insightful.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. I mean, I love this one a lot. It was a fantastic job, and I appreciate the poet putting this in here. So, excellent.
Very nice.
Excellent.
I liked your comment about the becoming one with nature. You're right. There is nothing artificial and nothing man constructed. This is a vessel that nature has given them. So is Pam still out? Because I don't want to leave this if she's back and would like to hear what she has to say about it. Is she still out? Pam, are you? I guess not. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just come back to her when she's back. So who do we have up next?
We have up next one by S.M. Pierce. And this one is for prompt number 27. So who do we have?
Is this the companion piece to the one we just looked at? I believe I'm scanning down.
This is actually
down.
Called Perfect Stranger.
No, you're right. You're right. It's the next one below. It is it's a troubadour serenading a woman leaning out the window, and he's got a what looks like a lute. And a bass drum behind him. He looks like one of those one-man band affairs. So why don't I grab this and read it? This is by S.M. Pierce, Celestial Courtship. The moon played a tune so jubilant and fierce while the sun peered out, watching silently between the stars, and the greenery felt lush for the love so truly meant to be. The animals flocked to hear the proclamation of tenderness. One feline curled around the crescent moon as the morning dawn rose with the sun's flushed cheeks. The fog began to dance among the branches of weeping willows, swirling and gushing between every crevice, every nook and cranny. But still the moon's song could not be drowned out, and the sun's eyes continued to open wide, her rays streaking through the dancing dewdrops. With a wonderful crescendo, the two inhabited the same space and serenaded their starlight children in perfect harmony. End poem.
Great read, Bobby. Excellent. And one of my favorite people on Late Night Poems is back. Pam, just to let you know.
Yay!
She is back. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, Pam, were you able to hear this piece?
Yes, I was, and it was beautifully written. I really like the personification of the moon playing a tune so jubilant and fierce. I like how the general message is of this, of the harmony of love and nature. And I really like the line, and the sun's eyes continue to open wider, her rays streaking through the dancing dewdrops. Just wonderful imagery there, and very well done.
And great comment. Thank you. And Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I love the nature aspect to this, right? You know, you can picture all this as it happens. As the morning dawn rose with the sun's flushed cheeks, the fog began to dance among the branches of weeping willows, swirling and gushing between every crevice, every nook and cranny. But still the moon song could not be drowned out, and the sun's eyes continued to open wider, the rays streaking through the dancing dewdrops. You know, that's just beautiful imagination there. Very creative, right? And an excellent read as well.
Thank you. And Lou, what did you think of this piece?
What I liked about it is how she made the painting stalk, you know, because you can see, you know, I see the cherubs, you know, serenading. The sunlight is calling them to, it's like they're almost escaping because in the background there's like some kind of dark figures, and where she even brings that out, it says that they, that as the morning dawn rose, with the sun's flushed cheeks, the fog began to dance among the branches of weeping willows. It was like they were pushing back the darkness with their love, and that nature was calling them, the animals, the moon, and the sun. And because you can see how tight they're holding each other. And, you know, just telling them, you know, that your love is in perfect harmony and come to us. So that's how I took it. Sell to us.
Wonderful. Thank you. Great. Very insightful. Dan, what did you think?
I agree with Lou. Lou, I think, speaking of celestial, I think you and I are both on the same celestial plane today because you keep stealing my – you keep saying the same things I'm thinking, so it's very interesting. I was thinking the same thing. It's really, really interesting take that S.M. Pierce did on this where, you know, I would have more taken it literally and almost maybe had a song between the two, but she actually took the background to me instead. And had what, you know, what the people were all feeling around again a nature scene, where the celestial courtship was not as much them singing to each other, but them just kind of being in tune with everything around them. So the animals flocked to hear the proclamation as the morning dawn rose with the sun's flushed cheeks. The fog began to dance among the branches. So it wasn't necessarily the women or the man's flushed cheeks; it was the sun's that they were feeling. And there's also, I think, the undertone of what they were feeling for each other. So almost turning nature into the emotional or even attractive feelings that people can have for each other. So multiple layers and a beautiful take. S.M. Pierce, thank you. I don't think I've ever read stuff by her, but I'm going to read a lot more now.
Yeah, really?
And
great contribution to the contest. I like
absolutely.
Her interpretation. You're right. She does pay a lot more attention to the background details, which I think is an interesting interpretation. But she called forth something that I think it just kind of slid right by me. Is we've got the moon, and her first lines, the moon played a tune so jubilant and fierce while the sun peered out, watching silently between the stars. And the headdress that she's got on, very very resplendent, very very suggestive of the sun. And when I read that piece, all of a sudden it just struck me, yes, it is like the moon is serenading the sun. And the details that she brings out with the cat at the bottom, it is a beautiful interpretation of this. And again, it's someone else's eyes picking up details that might have escaped us at that particular piece. So thank you for that great, great interpretation of that piece. And who have we got next?
Well, we have one by Naomi, and I believe we have a SoundCloud for this. Again, everybody
okay.
following along. We have prompt number 19. So if we could get the SoundCloud played.
My heart sighs midst dying swans. Oh, to color in my heart's blank pages in luscious taste of a rainbow's ecstasy, blooming where flower tendrils grasp fleshly like the newness a love once tenderly embraced, where songbirds in my garden did whisper of sweetest things immersed in nature's nectar, memories caught blissfully, breathlessly in between soft serenades caressing all my wanton needs. Symphonies of honeybees, sweetest stinger, and the poignant poison of intoxicating surrender. Bemused, spellbound by thorny heirloom, rosebuds, unspoken passion, swollen, untamed, carnal grace. Chasing sunlit feathered brush, demure blush of lace-petaled perfume, the lost tender vestige. Swooning fragrant rapture in spicy savored bold. A fleeting moment stolen away like a rumor of gold, the romantic reverie seeping from a hole in my soul, as a ripe strawberry gently weeping sweetness. Spring bleeds the soured ache of Tchaikovsky's song, sweet naivety drowned with the dance of dying swans.
Wow. Excellent. What a beautiful read. What a beautiful read. This speaks to Pam and Phil's encouragement of authors to record the SoundClouds of their own, of reading their own pieces, because we can read and appreciate, but hearing it from the author themselves and their emotion and what they have written is just incomparable. And this piece is a very fine example of that. I'm going to read her author's note. The prompt, which is the Dance of the Little Swans, prompt 19, it inspired me, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, one of the saddest music compositions ever written. And she goes on to explain the story, which is the story of Odette, who turned into a swan by an evil baron and is kept under his spell. The spell can only be broken if someone who has never loved before swears an oath of undying love to her and promises her hand in marriage. Prince Siegfried falls in love with Odette and does this, that, but is deceived by the baron, dances with who he believes is Odette, and asks for her hand, but in fact it is the mysterious woman, is Odell. And Odette knows that she will remain a swan forever, that she decides to die. They decide to die together and throw themselves into the lake. And for anyone who's ever seen that particular ballet, it's quite a dramatic moment at the end. But this is how she was inspired by this painting of a young woman, who looked like a young girl, actually sitting at a piano that has, if you look carefully, typewriter keys instead of piano keys. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was very clever, very subtle in the way that's done, and almost an office chair that she's sitting on. And she's got irises growing out of the piano, and she's got these wonderful little swans dancing around the base of the piano. Beautifully, and the piece itself, what depth of emotion. It's romantic. It's tragic. It is just heartfelt, and the melt that threads its way through it is just so breathtakingly poignant. The language she uses also, symphonies of honeybees, sweetest stinger, and the poignant poison of intoxicating surrender. Bemused, spellbound by thorny heirloom rosebuds, unspoken passion, swollen, untamed, carnal grace. Beautiful use of language in this. She's very, Naomi never ceases to amaze me. She's such a skilled writer, and the word pictures that she paints are just so breathtakingly filled with attention to detail. I really, really enjoyed this piece very much. Lou, what did you think of it?
Well, I thought this was just beautifully penned, written by Naomi. Even in her reading, this was just wonderful. I liked how she, yeah. You know, because, you know, they are keyboards. So she starts off, To Color My Heart's Blank Pages with the and luscious taste of rainbow's ecstasy. You know, the dreams that everybody has. It says, like the newness, a love once tenderly embraced. And then in her second stanza, you know, she talks about memories caught bliss robustly between soft serenades caressing all my want needs. You can just hear the music in here. You can just hear Tchaikovsky. Yeah. And you know, for me, is that she never goes across the river, because
The picture is clear from the bridge, the water, and where she's at, but across it's all in mist and smoky. It was like she knew they would never extend their life because it never went there because they died. So that's how I took it. The mist of dying swans.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but a beautiful, beautiful comment. What a wonderful interpretation of both the picture and of her writing and her interpretation of it. Very observant, very, very perceptive. Thank you. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought she did a beautiful job reading it, but the poem itself is filled with incredible imagery. And, you know, you can feel the emotions, especially in that last stanza. The romantic reverie seeping from a hole in my soul as a ripe strawberry gently weeping sweetness. Spring bleeds the sour ache of Tchaikovsky's song. Sweet naivety drowned amidst the dance of dying swans. Just an epic poem.
Thank you. Beautifully, well said. Thank you. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Oh my goodness, this is just, it's beautiful and brilliant. I like how she plays off of Tchaikovsky's song and, you know, the imagery within this, symphonies of honeybees, sweetest singer and the poignant poison of intoxicating surrender. That whole stanza, I mean, the whole rite is absolutely beautiful, but that stanza there and the one after it is my absolute favorite, so... Beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of Naomi's write?
I think everybody with their comments covered it really well. I will mirror that the reading was amazing, and it really was. And it's one of our better readings I've ever heard. And what you could feel is you could really feel the passion. You know, you could see, I could feel that this painting inspired the music that really touched her, and you could hear it in her voice when she was reading it, which is great. The one line I'll comment on is the very last one, sweet naivety drowned amidst the dance of the dying swans. And what I got that out of was the facial expression of this young woman. You can see the naivety in her. So, you know, does she really understand everything that's going on, or is she just kind of still playing her music? So that's what I got out of that last line, was the look in the young woman's face. But great job. Awesome, awesome.
Well, great comments, everyone. Everyone has something really marvelous to say about not only the artwork but the piece. But thank you. Well done. Who have we got up next?
Yes, we have by Eric Svensson. This is called Blow the Bugle, and I'm going to post it right now. And this is by prompt 17, the one we had seen before. So who are we going to have read this?
Well, let's since this is a man's poem, let's have a man read it. Gray, you feel like reading for us?
Sure. This is Eric Svensson, Blow the Bugle. On our horse conch shell, let's go. Sail away to the Bay of Bliss. Stay close, my love, my dove. Hoppity hop, bumpity bump. Dreamscape sails below, below. Golden gossamer strands combined. Away to Bay of Bliss. Flower buoys wave adieu. Conch shell spiral spun itself over years. Hoppity hop, bumpity bump. Two hearts thump, love's rhythm. Bay of Bliss beyond reality's golden breeze frame. True love cares not for gold bullion. Red heart chambers bestow the Midas touch. Hoppity hop, bumpity bump. Thumps reality, practicalities. My love, my dove. Bay of Bliss beckons on the horizon. Away, away from gold leaf society's sobriety. Be my Cleopatra upon burnished conch shell barge. Blow the bugle. Let's be frugal. No luggage needed. We'll live on air and water. love's dream cornucopia sustains away with golden bullion breezes. Day of bliss where poets Sunday, promissory notes of balmy days, pitch gossamer sails. My love, my dove, be bold and brave, bumpity bump, hoppity hop. Dreams are ten a penny, you sunbridal folly. Giddy up, my love, my dove, thumpity thump, splash down in Bay of Bliss, end poem.
Outstanding read. Well done. Thank you. I would very much like to hear what you have to say about this, Pam.
Did you say Pam?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really liked this. First of all, the whole repetitiveness of bumpity bump made me think of the Frosty the Snowman song. It was absolutely delightful. You know, it just bounces along. It makes you smile. The conch shell spiral spun itself over years. Hoppity hop, bumpity bump, two hearts thump, love's rhythm, Bay of Bliss, beyond reality's golden freeze frame. And, you know, I like those lines. I like, blow the bugle, let's be frugal, no luggage needed, we'll live on air and water. That whole idea of saying, you know, love is enough. You know, love is enough, dreams are enough, and we're going to sail away together in bliss. Absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. Lou, what were your feelings about Eric's write?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just want to make sure. For me, I love Pam's comment. For me, this was when we read children's books and you see that young love there, he actually put the sound in there, you know, which hoppity hop, bumpity bump. I mean, you cannot but just smile with that. And, you know, and it just shows the young love, the innocence of wanting to be in a relationship, not realizing what it takes, because he says, true love cares not for gold bullion. Red heart chambers bestow the Midas touch. You know, hoppity hop, bumpity bump, thumps realities, practicalities, you know, and, you know, when you're young and in love, you really aren't practical because you don't have the experience. And so he caught all of that of, you know, that West Side Story type of thing. We can just live together and love each other and everything will be grandeur. You can't eat air, but they'll find that out.
What wonderful
poem. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, wonderful observation. And I'm put in mind of some of the other comments I think you and Pam both have made about how very many of these pieces have that nursery rhyme quality to them. And I'm like Pam was reminded of the Pink Floyd song for that other piece. I'm put in mind of the owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a 5-pound note. And that's what it reminded me of, is they're going off for adventure, and the only thing they care about is that they're with each other. And that's what it reminded me of. And it does have that very musical sing-song quality that nursery rhymes do have. But along with that and its playfulness, I detect for some reason a very serious undercurrent just below the surface, that these two lovers, I think as you said, they don't realize how serious and how much work a relationship is going to be. Love's dream cornucopia sustains away with golden bullion freezes, Bay of Bliss where poets sunbathe, promissory notes of balmy days, stitch gossamer sails. That everything is all sweetness and light. But if you're not careful, that all evaporates. And that's the sense I get from this. Dan, what are your thoughts about this piece?
Excellent comment. Again, with the deep nature theme here, and I looking at the picture, what I'm thinking for those looking at the picture along too, it's very much out in the sunlight, the two on the little conch shell ship, but the background is very, very dense with green, so you can almost get this sense like they're really deep in the forest and surrounded by it, which might be why that's coming from. And what I got from with all the hoppity hops and bumpity bumps, to be honest, I kept picturing a roller coaster ride where this thing was kind of hopping up and down on the waves, and that's what they're kind of playing. Like two kids just kind of riding and having fun. So that's kind of what I got out of it. But it's really, really beautiful. And like everybody said, very kind of childlike, kind of nursery rhyme like almost. So really well done. Really well done.
Well, you kind of got your variety of the seriousness by the roller coaster ride. I love that. That's a great comment. Very, very perceptive. Really enjoyed that. Who have we got? This is another
Daniel.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
Just letting you know that Salwa has joined us. Welcome, Salwa. Glad you could join us.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Salwa.
How are you, Salwa?
Hello,
how are
you? Hi, Daniel. How are everyone? Hi, Gray. Can I comment on this beautiful poem?
Is this
an idea in my head?
I
love all your comments. Beautiful masterpiece. He's amazing. I don't know what kind of language and imagination he has. Incredible. I feel like if you don't let your inner child know, like in reality, in real life, then you're not going to enjoy life and be... And even loving, you just have to let loose and be yourself. That's what I see. And dreaming. Well, just,
No. Thank
really
thank
great.
You for coming in when you did, because that's a brilliant observation. I think, and we all miss that. You're right. That does call for the inner child to be nurtured, and it's a great catch on that one. Thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Alrighty.
I love comments.
Do you have a right for this contest? I think you did, didn't you?
Yes, I
did. She does, yes.
Okay, can you pull it up for her next?
Oh, after Eric.
Sure.
I'm just kidding.
Got to get your beautiful dulcet tones out there.
Absolutely.
Kidding,
let me get yours.
Thank you.
Let me get yours going right here. I'm going to post it right now.
Thank you, Dan.
And this is called I Breathe Life. And you can read it whenever you're ready.
Take it away.
Okay. I breathe life. Je respire la vie. How do you want me to go with this? I don't know what time your show.
However you like, you're the author.
Okay.
Just read.
I mean, time-wise,
yeah.
Okay? Time-wise,
yes,
okay?
Please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I breathe life, je respire la vie, entendant un sang fait de pétales d'attendris, reflétant les pensées de mon esprit. J'étais perdu dans une sensation douce, tout en bougeant doucement mes doigts, essayant sa hésitation le thème d'Amadeus, avec sa vivacité complexe, des oiseaux inondés par l'air, réjouissant de l'écho mélodique, arrosant le ciel azur, m'ont rejoint avec leur chant. Hearing a sound made of tender petals, mirroring my mind's thoughts, I was lost in delicate feelings, while gently moving my fingers, without hesitation, essaying Amadeus' theme with complex liveliness, birds flooded blissfully by the echo of the melodic air, sparkling the azure sky, join me with their song and the storm.
Beautiful. I know you had a SoundCloud there, but hearing you read it live is so rich. Thank you so much for reading that for us.
My pleasure.
Let me get Lou to tell us what she thought of your piece.
Sanwa, this was just beautifully, beautifully read. I love the light, lacy, airy way,
yes.
You know, where you made the listeners feel as if they were breathing with this pianist. You know, when you're playing music,
yep.
Or you're drawing or you're painting, we hear things in our mind. And, you know, and what happens is right there, you caught it. Mirroring my mind's thoughts. I was lost in delicate feelings. I could just not only hear your thoughts, but I could feel your thoughts. And this was just so beautifully penned. I'm not going to make more comments about it because I'd like other people to comment on it. But you did a beautiful job in making us feel as if we were breathing with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Great observation. Gray, what did you think of Selva's piece?
Well, there's such a delicate tenderness in her rites. I believe it's her soul, a mirroring of her soul. Just beautiful. Excellent read as well.
Thank you so much, Gray.
What a lovely comment. What a lovely observation. Pam, what did you think of Selva's piece?
Well, this is just such a beautiful and tender brevity. I really like, while gently moving my fingers without hesitation, a saying, Amadeus theme. I like that there's that idea of, you know, choosing a specific song to play, and then birds flooded blissfully by the echo of the melodic air. I like that this is all about enjoying music and enjoying life and the way that both the birds and the woman, you know, appreciate and have their own kind of music to express themselves. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Terrific comment. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everybody. And I think, and it was a beautiful read. And I also like the I was lost in delicate feelings while gently moving my fingers. And I can see in this picture the pianist sitting there and just kind of getting lost in the music and feeling everything around there. What's interesting to me, and I don't know, it's up to you if you want to comment on it, is the Amadeus theme. I don't know if something was, there was a specific Mozart piece that you were thinking of when you were writing this, but it's just really interesting that came out. Go ahead.
Actually, I was playing the piece, and this has really made me, that's why I picked this one. This is the thoughts I really had when I was playing it, so that's where I'm coming from. And I thought this prompt fit perfectly to my...
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Dan, because I was going to ask Zola if she wanted to say anything about this beautiful piece that she wrote.
Thank you.
I like the fact that she's playing the piano under this enormous... a gigantic bouquet of lilacs, and I don't know how other people feel about lilacs, but I could bury my face in them, and they take me like a time machine right back to my childhood. And the combination of the fragrance of the lilacs, the tender petals, and the Amadeus's theme, the combination of the music. And the fragrance, and the bird song, and the sparkling the azure sky, what a joyous piece you have here. The reflection of the love of the music and the love of nature is another wonderful piece, another wonderful rendering by you. Thank you, Saul, for this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for this.
Terrific. Who do we have to share next with everyone?
Absolutely, yeah. We have, posting it right now, this is called Dealing Dalmatian Dots by, I think it's Cress Tercet, and I believe we have a SoundCloud, and the prompt is prompt 15.
Dealing Dalmatian Dots.
Come, unhook my bodice brass, stroke my zodiacal palm, for toothsome tricks are hidden in the lapis lining of my velvet hat, and deep beyond. Clink the highballs and slowly sip, flicking the folios of my drambuie hips, and cast the die across my parchment, and let my calligraphed cornucopia slide. Pick your card, unruffled by your whims, I shuffle the deck, play the curvaceous queen to your diamond king, or choose the knave and chase my bawdy maid. But as you scroll my numbered navel, taking a column bet on my roulette, the keystone shifts beneath your feet. Blink, and the cracks interlock, spokes snap, and silver fish will fly. My slippery finned love tokens glide the gilded Bellagio arch, evaporating from your grasp with a whipped kiss. So count the odds of a polka spot in Dalmatian dots. The ace is always up my sleeve.
What a glorious read. That was beautiful. And what a beautiful piece. I mean, the detail that she evokes from her interpretation of this beautiful piece of art, the details, she's got the cards and the fish and the Dalmatian and the hat, and this is metaphor rich, visual imagery layered in here, very dense write. This again is one of those pieces that you really need to languish over in order to really appreciate it. Pick your card, unruffled by your whims, I shuffle the deck, play the curvaceous queen to your diamond king. It's playful, but it's very sensual, very, very subtly sensual, and it's a beautiful write. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I have to say it is absolutely beautiful. I like how she delves into the sensuality with this. Wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. I like how the end line, the ace is always up my sleeve,
yes,
has that idea of a bit of a challenge, a playful challenge. I also like that she played with the shaping of the word slide to make it go down, and pick your card, unruffled by your whims, I shuffle the deck, play the curvaceous queen to your diamond king, was just absolutely very appealing, and this is an excellent write, very well done.
Great comment. Yeah, the wordplay in this is so skillfully done. The evocative visual imagery that her metaphors conjure are just they're delicious. They really are beautiful. Gray, what did you think?
I thought she had a wonderful SoundCloud on her poem, and the
yes.
poem is filled with tantalizing imagery and emotions. You know, when somebody's in love, they can be played in many ways, and this is quite evident in this piece. So I thought it was a beautiful write with an excellent ending. The ace is always nice to you. Excellent
yes.
poem, excellent read.
Thank you, and a very perceptive comment. You're right. Lou, what did you think of this piece? We didn't lose Lou, did we? Oh, dear.
Yes, Lou did drop.
Oh, dear. Oh, son of a gun. Okay. Well, I'm glad she could join us, and I hope she comes back again. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Really beautiful, and honestly, I think I could probably listen to her talk all day. What an amazing voice and read.
Yeah, there
was a lot in here. There's a lot of, like you said, sensuality and just real great description on the actual picture itself. So I thought it was fun, it was sensual, but it was also very, very visual. So really great job, Crestor said.
I'm not familiar with her work, but I'm certainly going to get to that. And she has such a marvelous voice. Beautifully, beautifully read SoundCloud. So thank you for the SoundCloud. Who have we got next?
We have got, and I'm going to post it right now, this is one by Kay Heartless, and this is called Queen Conch. And it is it seems like our favorite picture here, prompt number 17. I'm sorry. What's that?
Is it busted?
This poem doesn't exist, or the link isn't bad or something.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Give me a second here.
Yeah, not found. So you'll have to move on to the next one.
Oh, okay.
We'll take a look at that link. If we have to, we'll just take it and carry it over.
Oh, I did it. I posted it wrong. Hold on a second here. Try one more time. See if this works. Here, let's try that.
Go.
Can you guys get on that one?
Yes.
That was a user error being me the user.
bad
Hey Lou, are you back?
Yes.
Yay!
Could you
read it for us, please?
Yes. Queen Conch by Kay Heartless. Give me true love's kiss. Climb inside my conch shell. To live in melded bliss. Embrace collective destiny tucked in a turtle grass bed to hermits in harmony. We'll ride the saucy seas, savor the seagrass meadows tangled in wild algae. Fully formed, rosy bare, my ruffle flare has opened, joined my spiral lair. Draw close to the opcrium. Thrust those knob-like spines. Spasms are never burdensome. Grab my molten haunch. Squeeze my moist, soft body. Worship me, Queen Conch. End poem.
Outstanding read. Well, that's more of a performance than a read. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Pam, would you lead us off in the comments, please?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful sensual write. It's clever, it's fun, it's filled with a sense of both passion and acknowledgement of one's own strength and sensuality. I really liked Fully Formed Rosy Bear, My Ruffled Flare Has Opened, Joined My Spiral Lair. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you. Excellent comment. Dan, what were your feelings about this piece?
Yeah, beautiful read first. Awesome job. Yeah, very, very sensual. Really interesting. We've had multiple takes on this poem, but it's all really two people kind of bonding together in this in this kind of natural world that they have here. So we'll ride the salty seas, savor seagrass meadows tangled in wild algae. Really, really beautiful take and great, great sensual imagery here. So loved it.
Lou, you did an outstanding job of reading that. Would you like to comment on it, please?
Yeah, you know, this is, to me, it was sensual and it was playful.
Yes.
And I right here where he tells her, which, you know, I think Daniel commented on it also, was "We'll Ride the Salty Sea, Savor Seagrass Meadows, Tangled in Wild Algae." You know, that they would just swim in the ocean and just have their bodies entwined. I thought that was just a lovely metaphor. It's beautiful.
It does a great job of wordplay in here with the assonance. Kiss, and she's got rhyming in here, but she's also got a fair amount of assonance, which is very artfully done. Little tiny, I should say, very short stanzas, but just so colorfully phrased. "Fully formed, rosy bear, my ruffled flare has opened, join my spiral lair." So she's got some wonderful internal rhyming there too. And the rhythm of the piece is so melodious. It's a delight to read, and you did such a beautiful job with it. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought it was a beautiful read, Liu. And, you know, the poem is touching and full of metaphor and sensuality. Just a beautiful poem throughout.
Thank you. Nicely done. Okay, who do we have? Did I miss you, Dan? Or did I ask you to comment?
No, you did. You got me, absolutely.
Salwa.
Oh, sorry.
Salwa, you
forgot. Oh, please, go. What are your thoughts?
I love the read, Louis. It's such an amazing job.
Thank you,
so soft and so very romantic and passionate with the sensuality that's just not over the board. Perfect. And invitation.
Yes.
I feel like it's an invitation from the beginning. Give me embrace. It's like a, not commanding, but almost just an invitation. Beautiful invitation.
The queen of conch.
I like the queen of conch.
Of
conch.
You're right. It has a delicacy about it. Not a lovely comment. Dan, did you get to comment on this? Oh, Dan.
I did, yes.
No, not Pam.
Yes,
I'm
and
sorry.
I did too.
I need to enunciate.
No, I did as well, absolutely. I got to comment. It was great. And, we'll cook along here. We still got a bunch of poems to go. And speaking of Queen, we have one by.
Just
want
to ask you how much I have left.
We have a bunch more left, so we'll cook along and get through as many as we can.
Let's do that.
So speaking of Queen, we have Martha Gettle up with "Hold Me," and we do have
awesome.
A SoundCloud for that. And I think she is on prompt 17 as well.
Yes, she was.
"Hold Me Close" by Martha Gettle. Hold me close and squeeze me tight. In your arms I feel so right. Darling, you make me smile. Hold me in your arms a while. I no longer feel alone. I know I'm not on my own. There in your eyes I see all I ever hoped love would be. Babe, I have to say it's true. I built my world on being close to you. I hope that I always make you see just how much you mean to me. I never knew love like this before. Close to you, I could ask for nothing more. You shine for me like a star. I long to be where you are. Babe, I have to say it's true. I built my world on being close to you. I hope that I always make you see just how much you mean to me. My heart beats faster when you say my name, and I feel love's burning flame. To be close to you is all I ask, as together we walk life's path.
Oh, thank you, Martha. What a wonderful piece. So I don't miss you. Would you please comment first?
Sawa had to go.
Darn. Oh, well. Well, I'm glad she got a chance to join us for a while. Then let me ask Louie to comment, please.
You know, what I really loved about this poem was Martha was talking about the emotions on their face, the way that they're
mm-hmm.
holding each other, and the
mm-hmm.
bliss on their face. That's what I see. And when I was listening to Martha sing this, it was like I was down south sitting on a porch, and I could see Martha sitting in a rocking chair, and I could be sitting on the edge of the steps, and I could just hear Martha singing this, you know, singing
yes.
this
yes.
In the spring breeze, the summer breeze. I can hear the rocking of the chair, and I could just hear her melodious voice talking about this love, you know, her singing this love song. This was just fantastic.
What a beautiful picture. Beautiful. I read this over several times earlier, and the lyrics, it's just so touching. I no longer feel
mm-hmm.
alone. I know I'm not on my own. There in your eyes I see all I ever hoped love would be. What a beautiful expression. And then, babe, I have to say it's true. I built my world on being close to you. And I hope that I make you see just how much you mean to me. The sincerity. And it's been hounding me for weeks listening to Martha. What she just was tickling something in the back of my memory, and I just now realized what it was. She reminds me, you know, the style isn't the same, the voice isn't the same, but the emotions, she reminds me of Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sincerity in her voice, the way she expresses the lyrics, it rang out to me just now that it reminds me of Patsy Cline and how she used to sing of love and the emotion in her singing. And that's where that's what I hear when I listen to Martha. Pam, what did you think of Martha's piece?
I really enjoyed this. Once again, she has another heartfelt song. I really like about that kind of love that holds us close and makes us feel lucky, you know, so
mm-hmm.
just beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you. Dan, what did you think of Martha's piece?
Yes, again, I agree with Lou. This really reminds me of just, you know, real just rustic,
yes.
You know, real down home music, even when just listening to it, the static in the background I loved, because to me that was like listening to an old, you know, record from the turn of the century,
mm-hmm.
Back in the early 1900s, and I thought this was one of her better ones. Actually, I thought the rhyming was beautiful and the phrasing was excellent. You know, this could be a hit country song for anybody. So great job, Martha, one of your better ones. Thank you very much for sending it in. And was that everybody?
Comment.
Or do we miss, I think, Gray?
Gray. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Gray, what did
you
think?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoy Martha singing her songs, but this one's definitely one of her better ones. I really like that closing stanza. Heart beats fast when you say my name. I feel love's burning flame. To be close to you is all I ask. As we together we walk life's path. You know, when you can find another to share life's path with, that's a beautiful thing. But, right, excellent singing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And again, the thing I really appreciate about Martha, her sincerity, but also she has a very subtle skill with assonance. She did, like you see in so many song lyrics, there's not an exact rhyme there, but my goodness, it's very pleasing to the ear what she writes. It works. It works beautifully. Okay, who have we got up next?
Well, what we have is, I'm posting it right now, we have The Art of Michael Chabal by W.P. McLeod 1. And that is prompt number 2 for those following along.
And,
who should we have read this one?
I think your melodious tones auto-execute this one.
Ah, excellent. Okay, I would be honored. So The Art of Michael Chabal. The jongleur on stilts stepped over the mannequin, playing dead on the Persian rug, and reached to the oblong harp strung with rainbow lanyards stolen from the necks of giraffes. In this motley cap of checkered stockings, he bowed the instrument with a pheasant feather plucked from the back of a mutant porcupine, skilled in the confabulation of exotic writing quills. Bare-breasted incense bearers scented the closed atrium with wafts of blue smoke and conjurer's blue glass bubbles from cold candelabra to float on the chessboard and capture the enemy queen. An elephant striped like a piano keyboard made love to an adulterous zebra as zeppelins filled with hashish fumes rose above the treetops, where baboon bishops dined on an almond paste and chamomile tea in a fertile monkey tree. End poem.
Excellent read. Excellent read. My goodness, this is an interesting interpretation of this prompt. Pam, would you lead off the comments, please?
Well, this is definitely smile-inducing, wonderful use of alliteration and
yeah.
Imagery, and you know, bare-breasted incense bearers scented the clothes atrium with wafts of blue smoke and conjurer's blue. You feel like it feels very Alice in Wonderland like to me.
Yeah,
like it feels, honest to goodness, it feels like a magic carpet ride. Just absolutely clever and delightful and very well done.
Great comment. Great observation. I agree. To me, it felt similar. It felt like a head-on collision between Alice in Wonderland and 1001 Arabian Nights. It had the elements of both in it, the exotic Eastern flavor to it, along with the fantastical wow, what was that? Getting some vicious static here, but it is a wonderfully colorful piece. The descriptions are just so evocative that the word painting that this picture. The word picture that's painted here is so vivid. Beautiful piece of writing. Gray, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I felt like I was on acid reading that.
yep.
It really has a trippy nature to it. And, you know, all the imagery is fantastic and really carries you through the whole poem. Just beautifully crafted.
It does, but it never delves into anything really dark. It's very very colorful, very vibrant. What did you think, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he was delving into other ones. I'll have to try to figure out which one specifically, but in my opinion, he was. Starting off with this picture and then kind of going into other ones. But it was very beautiful and, like Grace said, really kind of trippy, and I enjoyed it. But I will keep my comments short for sake of time so we can move on. And is that everybody, I believe?
No, we haven't heard from Liu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For me, this almost made me feel like I was in an opium den because I see these people, they're in ruins. And, you know, so many of cultures is taken away when you're captured or you're being taken over by another country. And it's, you know, it was just reminded me of them being out there playing their music, remembering. And then it says, for the long harp strung with rainbow lanyards stolen from the necks of giraffes. And it just made me think of their past lives and how many people, you know, for me, took to drugs because they were taken away from their homelands. That's how they coped. But that's on a more serious note.
No, that's what you heard, and that's a wonderful observation. I would not have taken my thoughts in that direction, but I certainly can see where that would evoke that imagery for you. Great comment. Okay. But how are we doing? Are we on the home? We're on the home stretch here. We got 15 minutes. Oh, how many pieces do we have left?
We have about 7, so we'll definitely have to have some carryovers, but we'll see what we can do.
Yes, we will. All righty. Who do we have next?
So I'm posting this right now. We have one by Blayton. Oh, I messed
you
it up
it again.
Hold on a second here. I am not doing my job well today. I'm glad I'm not being paid for this because I would be fired in a heartbeat. So there we go.
No more caffeine for you.
I'm telling you, I have way too much caffeine and chocolate. So this is by Blayton B. This is called Fingers Do the Talking, and this is actually a prompt number 8 for those following along. Who do we want to read this?
Okay. Liu, have you read for us in a while?
I read that other poem, but I don't think Gray has read.
Oh, well, then
I don't know.
Then we should get, well, Blayton B is a fellow. So let a fellow read this. We have a masculine voice, please. Gray, could you?
Sure. This is by Blayton B, and it's called Fingers Do the Talking. Who's that man laying down in that picture? Too heavy to lift himself up. Some say they get the picture, but they don't see the full picture. All they see is his fingers dancing around. The tiniest finger makes the most noise as others move to the back of the picture and become novelty toys. Who is the man laying down in the picture making the least noise? We know that there is something more. What could bring him down, allowing his fingers to walk it out, flamboyantly parading on the floor? Who knows the man laying down in the picture? Because I would like to know how a nation can dance like puppeteer, twisting his fingers and starting revolutions, spinning the world with so much power, with so much cause, with so much effect. The man lies dormant, but demands so much respect that we forget to see the outside picture. End poem.
Outstanding read. Thank you for the suggestion, Liu. Great, great read. Liu, what did you think of Blayton B's piece?
Well, I really enjoyed what he saw here, you know, where he talks about, you know, a man just, you know, which, you know, this is a society where the rich start the wars and it's the poor people who have to fight the wars. And,
yes,
you know, have to serve them. And so to me, this is a part of society where nations rise on the slavery of the backs of people. And he really caught that in this, that second stanza, like a puppeteer twisting his fingers and starting revolutions. Excellent, excellent poem.
Excellent comment. Thank you. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's a really interesting take, and you do see the person on, in the picture kind of like a king, and these other kind of servants just as kind of thing. They're just hands. They're just tools to serve him is really all it is, right? So it's bringing him down to just that level. It's really interesting. Anybody who's looking at the picture where there's a little bit on the right hand side, like a spotlight on a couple other ones in the background. So really great take, and I was looking forward to hearing this one read. I really enjoyed it when I read it the first time. Great job, Blayton, if you're listening.
Excellent.
Pam,
what did you think of this piece?
I thought this was an excellent write on the whole idea of seeing the big picture. I really like the stanza that starts, we know that there is something more. What could bring him down, allowing the singers to walk it out, flamboyantly parading on the floor? And how a nation can dance like a puppeteer, I thought was particularly a powerful line. So this is an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Great comment. And great, you read it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a wonderful write. You can picture all this as he reads it, as he writes it. He's got man laying down in that picture, too heavy to lift himself up. Some say they get the picture, but they don't see the full picture. All they see is his fingers dancing around. And then spinning the world with so much power, so much cause, with so much effect, the man lies dormant, but demands so much respect that we forget to see the outside picture. For all we can focus on is the fat man whose fingers are playing destiny. I thought it was a wonderful write. Excellent.
I agree. I'm reading Blayton B's comment. He says, my poetry is basically real-life stories and experiences, and I can see where what he's seen in his life would definitely color the way he has interpreted that prompt. I think for something that it looks so colorful and lighthearted, he's taken a very serious turn to it, and I appreciate that because it takes it in a direction that maybe some of us wouldn't have looked at it in that way, but very, very strong. I think it's very powerful. Powerful piece. Well done. And we're on the home stretch here. Who have you got for us next?
I have, and I'm posting right now. One by Jacinta Sajan, and this is called Anna's Crystal Gown, and it is on prompt number 5. Who do we want to read this?
Okay. I'll take a stab at it. Behind the veil, dress on a rail, wooden chair, covered hair, silently play, musical notes gray, orchestra host, crystal ghost, winter dice, broken ice, heard the rail, fumes derail, pianist consume, tablecloth drape, single cup wait, the countdown, crystal gown. And fun. Wow.
Excellent.
That is the same piece of artwork that has the train in the background and the train turning into the keyboard. So my goodness, what an interesting interpretation of this, totally, totally different from the one that was read earlier. Lou, would you tell us what you thought of it?
She took this down a little bit and deeper, like she caught the gray, to me, seeing the gray smoke from the train and the darker colors in the background,
yes.
Where, you know, that within her mind is this ghost, and, you know, even though she hears the rail, she's consumed by the music, and the countdown is, will she continue to wear this crystal gown, or will she get hit by the train? That's how it meant to me.
Great comment. I'm looking at the picture, and she's very. This is an interesting write in that she's called out elements from each of from within the piece of artwork. She's called them out, almost isolated them, like puzzle pieces, but she's not joined them together except to pile them together, and it creates a really interesting word picture and interpretation of the prompt. This is really a really fascinating way she's written this. Pam, what did you think?
I really like this brevity. I like how it's kind of that whole idea of, it's almost like a haunting fairy tale, but
yes,
short and impactful lines of imagery. I particularly like Crystal Ghost, Winter Dice, Broken Ice. I feel like it's about taking chances within those lines. So beautifully written and very well done.
It is. And it's just, it's calling out just different elements of the artwork, which is, I'm fascinated by the way she did this. Reid, what did you think of it?
I thought you did a fabulous job on the poem. You know, the one-word lines, and
yeah,
it really just flows through beautifully, and it's descriptive, and it's a powerful poem for just, you know, one-word lines, really.
Agreed.
Beautifully done.
It's elegant.
Excellent.
And it's a, yeah, great comment. Dan, would you like to round out the comments for us, please? Oh, where's
Sure, Donald? I'll just say.
She's gone, isn't she? Darn.
She's gone, yes, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
please.
No, just real quick, I think that I thought the rhyming was great, and I love the feel of it. I love Crystal Ghost. It was a fantastic, and
yeah.
I also like the focus on the gown, which is really interesting that that's what caught her eye. But if we don't have more comments, I think we might have time for one more poem.
Okay, we've got about 4 minutes. You think we can squeeze one, or do we want to rush?
Yeah, we got 4 minutes yet. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't want to rush. I don't like rushing comments, so I'm okay. What we have is we have one by S. Sharp, and by R. G. Camille, and by Rich F. That we will carry over. So we appreciate you writing
okay.
in with these, but we don't want to rush the comments on them. We want to take our time and look
Absolutely
at them.
Not.
Thank you everybody for joining in, and we will be back in 2 weeks.
Well,
don't forget that tomorrow night we have Rhythm and Rhyme with Intimidus Rex, and I'm not sure which one, but early in the morning Monday, Eastern time, at least early in the morning, we have either Hearts at LMP with Victoria Frost or Black Lace Diaries with Victoria as well, too. Should be up and
yeah.
running.
Well, I'd like
anything
to,
else?
I'd like to hear what, yes, I'd like to hear what's going on with Gray and Muyu. What kind of comments, concepts do you have going right now?
I actually don't have any contests going right now.
Oh, heavens. Well, I know Pam's always
yeah.
got a contest going.
Open
so what
poetry.
Have you got to share with us? Open poetry. What have you got to share with us,
yeah.
Pam? You always have a contest.
I'm not sure exactly. I mean, you can just check out my page and see what I've got.
All right.
I'd like to get something.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for sharing your evening with us and for your comments and for the wonderful reading. Couldn't do it without you. And, Pam, a special thank you to you. We will see you fine folks in a couple of weeks. And with that, we have a couple of minutes left, and I think we'll just let it rest.
Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Fantastic contest. I enjoyed all poems, and especially
Thank
the comments.
You.
Wonderful.
Good night, everybody. Much love.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.